providing you with informative and entertaining programs. This is the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. The rule forced tens of thousands of Middle Easterners and others visiting America to provide personal information to government officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. U.S. embassies on Tuesday warned of possible terror attacks against 2 hotels in Kenya and a housing compound for Westerners in Saudi Arabia. 2 banks were evacuated in the Kenyan capital because of a bomb threat. More after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Concerned citizens calling a publicized toll-free number to report injured and dead manatees have instead been given offers to chat with fantasy girls in exchange for a credit card number. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission number changed years ago, but the old 800 number is still posted on websites, boater education signs, and park brochures. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Get the good stuff.
Right now would be a good time to come to Napa Auto Parts, because you can get a mini remote control Napa delivery truck for just $14.99. This is the good stuff. At only an inch and a half tall, this amazing little truck has working headlights, a Napa hat that lights up, and roaring engine sounds. And you can steer it in any direction, including forward and reverse. So make someone happy this holiday season. Come to Napa.
Get the good stuff.
Napa. Get the good stuff.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off-message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
Well, good morning, or afternoon, wherever it may be, wherever you are. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Did you see where, in today's New York Times, Paul Krugman has broken the voter story? I mean, there's been a virtual news blackout on this thing, that Diebold Corporation, that their website was hacked by Bev Harris, and well, it wasn't hacked, actually. It was sitting there wide open, an FTP site. And she went in and found this information that in this file called Rob Georgia, which raises, or at least by implication, raises some questions about the outcome of the Georgia elections, for which there is no record now, because it was all done on Diebold machines that leave no paper trail, just electrons. And anyhow, Krugman brought it out in the New York Times. I mean, you know, if something's in the New York Times, it's news. Well, he's not a news reporter. He's an op-ed piece writer. But it's right there on the front page at nytimes.com. And it's going to be interesting to see where this one goes. I got an invitation here locally in Vermont to come and speak to a group that's working on these issues. And apparently I met Deb Markowitz, our Secretary of State, a few weeks ago, and she at that point was saying that she didn't think that it was as big a problem as everybody thought, but hopefully she's waking up. Hopefully Secretaries of State across the country are waking up to the fact that this could be a real, not just a problem, but an issue. I mean, the integrity of democracy is vital. The vote is the beating heart of democracy. And I think one of the reasons why so many people are so angry with George W. Bush is that when you learn the story about Kathleen Harris and Jeb Bush ripping off something like 90,000 votes in Florida, taking between 70 and 90,000 people, mostly in black communities, and telling them that, no, you can't vote, sorry, because your name is similar to somebody who's on a felon list in Texas. And then just, you know, and the NAACP comes out and says, hey, we got a problem here. And they just dismiss it.
Oh, they're just being paranoid.
And I think, you know, as people read, Michael Moore wrote about it in Stupid White Men, and Greg Palast wrote about it in his book, The Greatest Democracy Money Can Buy, and people are getting it. We were robbed in 2000. And it looks like, at least in the state of Georgia, we were robbed in 2002. And keep in mind, it was just two Senate seats would have made the difference, and one of them was in Georgia. I'm not going to get into the paranoid stuff about the other one was in Minnesota where Paul Wellstone died in a suspicious airplane crash because I'm just not going to go there. But anyhow, I thought that was interesting that Paul Krugman was on the front page. Our program, by the way, it's 10 minutes after the hour. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're beaming all across the nation live on the IE America Radio Network. We're also streaming from the depths of outer space on the Sirius satellite, Stream 145, and beaming around the planet, 91 countries at the last count, regularly listening from radiopower.org, and also on the Internet at live365.com and ieamericaradio.com with archives at whiterosesociety.org. You can find it all at www.tomhartman.com. However you spell it, you'll find it. A couple of other interesting things in the news before we get into our topic for this hour, which is how is the war on terror misguided? This whole war on terror thing is really taking its toll on democracy. It's taking its toll on our soldiers in Iraq who are not fighting a war on terrorism. Iraq had nothing to do with the war on terrorism, as we'll get into in a little bit. But what is happening to the war on terrorism? I mean, this is day 804 of the search for a 6'8" guy hooked up to a dialysis machine riding around on a donkey. As Paul Begala pointed out yesterday in Crossfire. I mean, think about it for a minute. Here we are, the most sophisticated, high-tech, powerful, expensive military on Earth. The most powerful, high-tech, expensive military the planet has ever seen. We can take a picture of a license plate from outer space. And 804 days ago, George Bush said he was going to get Osama bin Laden dead or alive. And somehow, instead, we got ourselves a country or two. And we got a pipeline now being built across Afghanistan, and we got oil wells now pumping in Iraq, and we don't have Osama. Day 781 since the anthrax letters arrived. Day 295 in the search for weapons of mass destruction. And day 141 since the event happened, which led Ambassador Joe Wilson to say...
At the end of the day, it's of keen interest to me to see whether or not we can get Colonel Rowe Frog Marsh out of the White House in handcuffs.
Yeah, and time will tell. We shall see. Did you see where the in Colorado, the Republicans are pulling a Texas? And they just got stopped by the Colorado Supreme Court. The Colorado Supreme Court, this in today's news, sfgate.com is where it was a link off of the Google News search. Colorado Supreme Court strikes down GOP redistricting bid. The Colorado Supreme Court threw out a GOP redistricting plan pushed through this year. The state high court ruled 5-2 on Monday that passage of the Republican plan violated a provision of the Colorado Constitution that says the congressional map can be redrawn only once every 10 years. By the way, pretty much every constitution of every state in the country says that. Because, as I recall, the Constitution says that. I think it's in the 14th Amendment. I'll have to dig it out, but I'm pretty sure. However, the Republicans don't like that, that you redistrict every year that ends with zero after you do a census, per federal law. No, they say that whenever we get control of the legislature of a state, that's when we should do the redistricting, so that we can control the process. You notice the news stories. There was another one on the front page of the New York Times today about how the Republicans out in the 2004 election, George Bush is going to have a 7-vote electoral advantage coming right out of the gate because of redistricting. And Texas is contributing a lot to that. But anyhow, in Colorado, the state high court said, no, you can't do it, the Supreme Court of Colorado. So what do the Republicans say? Oh, gee, that's the rule of law. Well, I guess we'll just go with what the Constitution says and what the state constitution of Colorado says. We'll do things the way that they're supposed to be done. No, that's not what they said. I'm sorry. Carl Forti, spokesman for the National Republican Congressional Committee, said, quote, it's far from over. There's still a federal case to play out. In other words, they're taking it to the Supreme Court, where history, when it has to do with Republicans and elections, is any indicator, they will get a good hearing. Here's another heads up. I just want to share a couple of heads up with you. I think these are things that concern me. Israel's, this from an article by Gordon Thomas in the Globe Intel. Israel's former head of military intelligence, Major General Shlomo Gazit, has broken ranks and taken the unprecedented step of warning Ariel Sharon to stop threatening Syria. So this is a question I raised way back earlier in the year. What's George Bush's 2004 October surprise going to be? Is it going to be that he pulls the troops out of Iraq? It looks like he's working on that one. Or is it going to be that he starts another war somewhere? He's figured out that he can't start another war somewhere all by himself, because we get really upset about that, and so does the rest of the world. This policy of preemption just doesn't seem to be working. It's causing other countries to look at us and go, what happened to democracy in America? What happened to 227 years of never being the attacker, only being the defender of liberty and freedom around the world? So, now there's speculation that Bush and Sharon have cut a deal where Sharon is going to provoke Syria to the point that there's some shooting going on so that the United States can intervene in a war that's already going on. And, to paraphrase George Bush Sr., kick a little Syrian butt. Which, of course, will be enormously helpful to George W. in the polls. My guess is that if this is the case, and I realize this could sound like it's on the edge of paranoia, but look at what this guy has done. The careful management of the news cycles, showing up in Baghdad at 5:30 in the morning and rousting these soldiers out of bed at 5:30 in the morning to serve them a turkey dinner so that he can fly out of there by 7 a.m. because he had to arrive under cover of darkness. Did you know that, by the way? That turkey dinner that we saw while we were eating turkey dinners? Those of you who eat turkeys, didn't happen when you were seeing it on TV. No, it happened at 5:30 in the morning, Baghdad time, which was kind of like the middle of the previous evening for us here. But anyhow, we've seen how carefully they manage the news cycle and how they've always got a few hot news stories in the back pocket that they can just kind of drop out there. So I think, you know, suggesting that the Bush administration might be Machiavellian in the way that they do things is not an unreasonable observation. And in fact, here we have now the head of military intelligence, Shlomo Gazit. He accused Sharon, Ariel Sharon, of running, quote, an orchestrated campaign to incite and humiliate Damascus. It is only going to be a matter of time until the Syrians are unable to hold back, and then the big blaze will begin. He cited as an example of the jab, jab, jab policy of Sharon the recent incident when Israeli fighter planes buzzed the palace of Bashar al-Assad, who is, by the way, the president of Syria. And then Valon, this other guy associated with Sharon, he says, if Damascus continues to ignore the message that Israel and other countries have sent to Syria, then it may be necessary to send messages of a different kind. The reference to other countries was intended to convey that Washington would support an attack on Syria, Yalon later admitted. This guy's a member of Sharon's cabinet. So will that be the October surprise? Is war with Syria on the way? And Bush is going to get Israel to start it for us. Could it be? 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, by the way. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where despair is not an option. Get active. Get political. Awaken. And stick around. This is Tom Hartman. We'll be right back.
When you purchase or refinance a home, the lender closing cost may add up to thousands of dollars. Well, at Ditech.com, we've cut our closing cost to just $395. It's called the Ditech One Fee. One low fee is all there is. No points or broker fee. The $395 Ditech One Fee. Why pay more? Log on to Ditech.com for terms and license disclosures or call 1-800-DITECH-1. That's 1-800-DITECH-1. Equal housing opportunity.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. I understand that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens have been listening to that Mike Malloy person pollute this great nation's airwaves for 3 hours every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Surely you can find a more productive use of your evening hours, like organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly in your victory garden. Or you could spend the 3 hours simply standing in your yard, saluting the flag on your house, apartment, or trailer, or whatever you little people live in. I'm told some chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists every night at 9 p.m. Eastern Time when they feel the unnatural and un-American temptation to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. I'm certain in time you'll find the method that works best for you and your family. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal
Narwhal.
Talk. We talk Australia. About what you do to your animals Whale. And what your animals Whale. Do to you. Seal. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer Whale. All your animal Jack. Questions Zebra. From A to Z. Iguana. Sunday nights Jaguar. On IE America Minx. Radio Narwhal. Network.
Australia.
Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bats.
Yeah.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Another 17 with mystery and lust. Two neighbors who are proud of their mother.
Vitalizing Democracy. This is Tom Hartman on the iAmerica Radio Network. Boy, did you see where I, you know, I do want to get to this topic, but there's just so much stuff at the top of the news that, that really seems worth noting and commenting on, shall we say. The Republicans may have made a major strategic blunder with regard to New York City, saying essentially to New Yorkers, well, you know, we'd like to use your city as a prop for our conference. But Republicans really don't like hanging out with, you know, New Yorkers. And, you know, it's... just got a note here from Shar. She says, caller said you gave out wrong info on when president returned to U.S. Well, let's do the math. He arrived there at 5:30 in the morning, and he left 2.5 hours later. What does that come to? 6:30, 7:30, 8. Ah, okay. Sorry. In any case, so the Republicans are saying to the city of New York, no thanks. And they're going to park a cruise ship. A cruise ship off the coast of New York, I mean, off the one of the docks there, so that they don't have to dirty the sheets of a New York hotel. And they'll have all the free cruise ship food they want. Now, I think cruise ships are great fun. I've been on them. I used to, back when I had an advertising agency, I used to teach marketing, and one of the cruise lines hired me to teach travel agents how to do advertising and marketing, and gave us, Louise and I and my parents, in fact, all four of us, a free cruise from here to Europe. I mean, it was a hoot. It was amazing. And, of course, every day on the cruise, I had this batch of travel agents that I was doing a seminar for. It was fun. And we've been on other cruises before. We used to own a travel business in Atlanta, International Wholesale Travel, which is now Sprayberry Travel. And Louise and I started that back in 1983, sold it in 86. But, you know, there's lots of goodies. Anyhow, the cruises are wonderful things, and I'm not saying this as a way of knocking the cruise industry or cruise ships, but good grief, I mean, the city is rolling out the red carpet and hoping to make a few bucks in the process. And they're going to park their bodies on a cruise ship? Somehow I can't imagine that. Well, you know, they're not all that happy with Bloomberg. They think he's kind of a Democrat anyway. But I can't imagine that they're all happy about that. And then this thing, this tax breaks target big SUVs. Now Congress has, passed the bill. And used to be, I think I've told you this story before, back, I don't know, 8 years ago or something, we when we first moved to Vermont, we had a house that had a half-mile-long dirt road driveway. And by coincidence, just as we were preparing to buy that house and move, our bookkeeper said, you know, hey, there's a small profit in the business. We have a small business. I mean, literally millions of Americans have small businesses. Every doctor, dentist, lawyer, a lot of writers. You know, you create a small corporation to run the money through. And he said, if you buy a car that weighs more than 6,000 pounds, you can take $17,000 off your income tax. It was actually $38,117 last year. And so we did. We owned an SUV for a little while. It was useful when we had that long dirt road, but we sold it when we moved. But anyhow, $100,000 now. This is Tom Hartman. To be continued.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
This is Mike Malloy with the IE America Radio Network. Want to know more about our talk shows and personalities but don't know where to look? Do you want to find out what guests are scheduled or what topics we'll be discussing on our programs? Would you like to participate in live chat or vote in interactive polls? All this and more is available at the IE America Radio website. Bookmark it, stop surfing, and get active. Visit www.ieamericaradio.com today.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Almost 2 years come and gone, they never solved that crime. Till they found one of our vagabonds already doing time. When that jailbird started singing, they all knew the words were wrong. But the sheriff and the DA and the judge all sang along. They pinned it on Jack Favor. Without parole, gave Jack's freedom to the jailbird, paid him on the lies he told. Just so happens that election year, everybody made out at the polls. Cadillac's no fallen hero, and he's never gonna break. When it comes to prison rodeo, there'll be no easy aid.
Welcome back to Talk Radio for the rest of us. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Just to wrap that thing up, you can now, this is almost worth the cost. You can create a corporation for about $300 to $400 in most states. And you do that, and you run some of your income through it. And now, if you buy a car that weighs under 6,000 pounds, in other words, a car and not an SUV, through your corporation, you can deduct up to $10,710 from your taxes. But if you run it, if you buy a car that weighs more than 6,000 pounds through a small business, you can deduct $100,000 from your income taxes, assuming it costs, you know, whatever the cost of it is up to that. And people wonder why there are so many great big huge vehicles being advertised on TV and driving around on our roads. It has everything to do with tax law. I mean, tax law is one of the most powerful ways to change things. Okay, let's talk about Iraq. We have, first of all, this was really interesting. Here's this article, SFGate.com has it out today. U.S. commanders said Monday they'd killed up to 54 insurgents in the fiercest battle since Saddam Hussein's government fell nearly 8 months ago, but townspeople disputed that claim, saying only 8 were killed in the battle Sunday, and most of them were non-combatants. Are we going back to the old thing in Vietnam where it was all about body count? Those of you who aren't old enough to remember, this was just a spectacle. Every night you turn on the TV, and Walter Cronkite would come on, and the first thing that he would talk, the first thing he'd say was, "Today in Vietnam, 1,400 Viet Cong were killed, and 27 Americans." And as long as the numbers worked like that, everybody felt like, hey, we're doing pretty good. And that went on for a couple of years until people started saying, he'd say, 1,048 Vietnamese were killed today and 22 Americans. And finally people were starting to say, 22 of our guys? What? What are you talking about? I mean, there were always a few people going, hey, what about those Vietnamese who are getting killed too? But it took a while before we realized that just because we were killing more of them than they were killing of us, that didn't mean that us being there and getting killed was necessarily a good idea. So, is the military repeating that? By the way, our quote for the day from George Washington. Our quote for the day. As mankind becomes more liberal, they will be more apt to follow, or to allow, that all those who conduct themselves as worthy members of the community are equally entitled to the protections of civil government. I hope ever to see America among the foremost nations of justice and liberality. George Washington, liberal. Anyhow, SF Gate goes on, but with Samara's Hospital, see, now it turns out that this firefight yesterday was actually, they were trying to put down a bank robbery. Or the bank robbers were trying to, it's looking more and more like that, because they rolled into town with, 100 soldiers and 6 tanks, 4 Bradley fighting vehicles, and several Humvees to deliver cash to a bank, or to a couple of banks. And that's what they were doing. And when they got to the bank, they came under attack. This reminds me more of Chicago in 1935. I mean, doesn't this sound like an Al Capone kind of operation? These guys were bank robbers. Or they were trying to be. They were unsuccessful bank robbers. Or it could be that they said, hey, there's a whole bunch of Americans concentrated around the bank. Let's get them. I mean, it could be that they were actually rebels trying to drive us out of the country. Could be either one. Who knows? But we're not going to find out from the casualties. Here, Abdul Sattar, 47, who owns a bakery a block from one of the two banks to which the convoys had driven, says, I saw a man running across the street to get his small son who was stuck in the middle, so the Americans shot the man. Officials at the hospital said only 8 dead had been brought in, along with 54 wounded. In a house in the outskirts of Samara, Abir Mohammed Al-Khayat, 28, said a rocket hit the minibus in which she and several others had commuted from their jobs at a local pharmaceuticals factory. She said, there were about 20 of us, men and women, cradling her arm, injured by shrapnel in a sling. At the hospital, several patients said they were injured when a shell, apparently fired by an attack helicopter, struck a mosque at about 5 p.m. when residents were converging for evening prayers. In the corner bed of one ward lay Ali Al-Tashi, a 9-year-old boy who had gone to the mosque Sunday night to pray with his father. Heavily bandaged, the boy sobbed in pain and confusion. His older brother, Grimian, 17, clutched his hand and tried to comfort him. He still does not know that our father was also killed, Grimian said. All our brothers and sisters and our mother have gone up north to Erbil to bury him. In the hospital's morgue, 2 people killed by bullets lay on metal shelves, a rail thin man who seemed to be in his 60s, and a middle-aged woman dressed in a black religious robe. These were the terrorists that we killed there. They had Iranian passports. They were apparently Sunni Muslim pilgrims who had come to make a pilgrimage to the shrine of Imam al-Hadi in that particular city. Now, the point of this is not that American soldiers are bad guys. These guys are scared to death. And you show up and people start shooting at you and you shoot back. I mean, it's just the bottom line. There's no doubt in my mind that the American soldiers did what they thought was the best thing. In the vast majority of cases, in my mind, these are our brothers and sisters. These are people we know. I mean, it's not, there's a few psychopaths over there, no doubt. There are in any army. But the vast majority of them are good, decent people who, in fact, increasingly the vast majority of them are good, decent people who are school teachers and the guy next door who joined the National Guard to make a little extra money on the weekends. And is hoping that he'll have a job when he gets home. The point is, are we in the right place doing the right thing at the right time? What does this have to do with terrorism? I mean, terrorism is a tactic, not an organization. If an organization employs terrorism as a tactic, you could say they're a terrorist organization. You could say the IRA was a terrorist organization because they killed innocent people. They created terror. But the British government didn't declare a war on terrorism. That's a tactic. They declare a war on the IRA. And actually, they didn't even declare a war. They declare a police action. These guys are criminals. And it cuts when you make them combatants, you glorify them. You raise them up. You say, oh, yeah, they got a lot of they're legitimate. It legitimizes them. So Hillary Clinton was in Iraq a couple of days ago. Here's what she had to say about it. I think the interesting observations here that Hillary
I think has. The bottom line for Senator Reid and myself is we want to be successful in our efforts for our country in both Afghanistan and Iraq. We cannot afford to fail.
Now, what does, fail mean here?
Whatever one thinks about the decision to go into Iraq, that's water under the dam. We've got to win, and we have to establish a stable, functioning Iraq.
Now, see, this is where I'm not sure. I may be parting company with Senator Clinton here. But what does win mean? I don't think that you can win a military victory against a popular insurgency. And the reality is that insurgencies do not survive if they don't have popular support. Why is it that every time somebody, from the coalition gets killed, you see a car blown up and there's bodies in the street, you look at the videotape and the Iraqis are coming out to kick the bodies and cheer? You're not going to win militarily against that. You can win politically against that. You declare democracy. You allow democracy to happen. Let the chips fall where they may. You pull back from having your hand around the throat of every little thing that's going on. You step back from saying, okay, we're going to nationalize all the industries. We're going to control the oil. And you let the Iraqis have at it. But I just don't see where a military victory is possible here. 1-800-TALK-YES, or number, Char, say that again, Char? Oh, okay. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, and let me just get back to Senator Clinton here. We'll just continue with her.
So that should be the focus of our concern. That should be the focus of debate in the Congress and in the country. And we cannot forget about Afghanistan, because after all, that's where the face of international terrorism resides.
Now we get to the nub of the issue. Where is that 6'8" guy driving around on a donkey with a dialysis machine?
Osama bin Laden is the face of international terrorism. And our failure to apprehend him means that whether he's dead or alive, and we don't know which, he is a mythic presence, he is a recruiting tool, and he is a continuing real and present danger to the security of Americans.
Amen. And, where is this guy? What's it going to take to end terrorism? By the way, apparently we had a caller a minute ago, and I didn't catch it. I apologize. If you thought I was putting you off, it was that I wasn't sure that there was a caller there, and I learned about it as you were hanging up. So feel free to call back, 1-800-TALK-YES, if you'd like, if you had something to say on this issue or any issue. Ending terrorism, what would it take? The Syracuse Post-Standard in New York ran an interesting article by Andy Mager a couple days ago. He suggests that we should honestly define terrorism regardless of the perpetrators as anything that attacks civilians. Yeah. We need to create viable international institutions to prosecute crimes against humanity. Well, we have one, the International Criminal Court at The Hague, although the United States doesn't want to play under Bush. Probably because they're afraid Henry Kissinger will be prosecuted for past crimes. If you haven't seen the movie The Trials of Henry Kissinger, it's worth Buzzflash is selling another website to raise money. Strengthen international institutions to address poverty and inequality. See, this is the bottom line. And I don't mean to sound like you know, LBJ and the Great Society here, but the reality is that when people have enough to eat and they feel safe and secure in their homes and in their possessions, as the Fourth Amendment, you know, to use that phrase, that language, they tend not to get involved aggressively in political things. You know, very few people get super involved in politics unless they feel that there's a real threat to their liberty, to their freedom, to their ability to earn an income and that sort of thing. Hey, Char, you know, I'm hearing you telling me that I've got a caller, but I see nothing on the screen. So I'm going to, you know, take this caller, whoever it is, and it's Andrew. Great. Okay, we're going to have to figure out what's happened to our instant message thing. Andrew, hey, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hi, Tom. You there?
I am. What's on your mind?
Well, you make the point about the people at the on the videos kicking the bodies on the ground. I don't know if you can really use that as a reasonable example, because those people, it's really just a time when they want to be on camera. It's like,
you think so?
Like
you don't
it's like
think?
The same
I mean,
thing when they have signs written in English, you know, Yankee go home. And who are those signs for? They're for the media, because
sure.
They're not for the people that they represent.
Well,
they're
Andrew, just, what's the message then? If they're if they're trying to give a message to the media, Andrew, what's the message if they're kicking bodies and holding up signs that say Yankee go home?
Yes, but is that you can't? That's only.
Are you saying that they're just doing this for ego, that they want to be on TV?
That's a very small percentage, and I think it's very suspect that they have signs written in English.
I think it makes perfect sense. If Iraq and Andrew,
home, not representative of themselves.
Andrew, if Iraq had conquered the United States and Iraqi television reporters were over here videoing the situation, and
right.
You and I were working to try and throw those Iraqis out, do you think that we would make signs that were not in Arabic? I mean, wouldn't it make sense if we were trying
exactly.
to talk to the Iraqi
exactly.
empire?
I just want to make the point that those signs are not representative of all the people, just a small group.
Well, how do you know that? If you look at the last Zogby poll, when they actually... No, Andrew, listen to me for just a minute. The Zogby organization went over there and actually did a poll. They actually surveyed the Iraqi people. And what they found was that the vast majority of them don't trust Americans. That
no,
they don't,
no,
they,
that you're leaving out an important point here. And yes, there is a poll that recently changed from...
Here's the story, Andrew. This is from Reuters. This is today's Reuters. From London, nearly 80% of Iraqis have little or no trust in U.S.-led occupying forces, and most place their faith in religious leaders instead, according to a major survey published in Britain on Monday. Nearly half regard the removal of former President Saddam Hussein as the best thing to have happened in the last 12 months, while a third said the war bombings and defeat of the Iraqi army in April was the worst. But 70% of those surveyed said they had confidence in their religious leaders, but 80% said they have no confidence in the United States. Now...
Are you surprised? You're spinning the message here.
I'm not spinning anything. I'm reading a report from Reuters.
But only through their own... And it's not going to come from an American occupation. And it's going to come through self-government.
I agree.
It doesn't necessarily mean that they don't want us there. They do need us there to stabilize long enough, only long enough, for the self-governance to take effect.
You know, the problem, Andrew, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. I got to move on here. The problem is that if that was all it was all about, I would agree with you totally. But the Iraqis are talking about the fact that we've got their oil wells and we're selling off their businesses. And there's mass unemployment in Iraq right now, and they are very concerned about that. You are getting the pablum and milquetoast version from Fox News. I encourage you to read a little more thoroughly. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The Founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide. And you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Therese Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Bill in Hoffman Estates, Illinois, posting on our message board.
The doorbell rang and I answered the door. Just as I finished posting how fed up I am with Bush, what a surprise. The guy standing in front of my door was very Republican look about him. His first words to me were, "Hi, I am your Republican precinct captain." Boy, has this guy got the wrong address, I said to myself. But not before I made it known to him that I consider Bush a menace to America. He started squirming and glancing around the front of my house. Our junkie responds. He says, I remember when the only people we had to worry about meeting on our doorsteps were Jehovah's Witness crusaders. Now we have right-wingers. That's really scary. How to scare off door-to-door Republican visitors. And Klaus adds, well, answering the door naked can have the desired effect.
For Christ's sake, will you cover yourself?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
She's a rich girl, she don't try to hide it. Diamonds on the soles of her shoes. He's a poor boy, empty as a pocket. Empty as a pocket with nothing to lose. Sing ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na. She got diamonds on the soles of her shoes. Ta-na-na, ta-na-na-na.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Our program today brought to you by Small Dog Electronics, 1-800-511-MAX, and the Organic Wine Company, 1-888-ECO-WINE. 1-800, our number, 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. And Margaret, thanks for calling back. I didn't see the message there that you were there. Shar had sent it, but we had one of those wonderful little computer burps. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I'm sorry I accidentally cut us off, and I don't know whether what I want to say now is important or not, because I got kind of riled up whenever I heard you talk about the Republicans getting a cruise ship to the harbor of New York instead of getting into New York City.
Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah, and the thing that I was wondering about was where do they get the money to go ahead and get the cruise ship? And if they're going to use the funds that Bush is collecting, they've got the biggest propaganda machine I've ever seen in my life so far. And yep. I was wondering if they can deduct that from the taxes for those who go ahead and pay for the cruise ship. And the other thing I thought, instead of calling them Republicans, I think we ought to call them elitists. Because that's exactly what they're doing. They're separating themselves from one part of the country to the other.
Yeah, well, the conservative, you know, one of the core parts of conservative philosophy is articulated by Edmund Burke back in the 17th, 18th century and Russell Kirk in his 1953 book, Mind of a The Conservative Mind, is that there should be a class system in America. I mean, they're right up front about that. And so they are elitists, and they're proud of it. As to how they're going to pay for this thing, the cruise company, actually, from the story that I read, thinks this is a great idea because they're just going to charge by the night. They're moving the cruise ship in there, and they're going to run it like a hotel and a restaurant. And they're going to make out like bandits if they do it because New York City's going to lose. Margaret, thanks for the call. I'm sorry. We're out of time here, Margaret. It's the end of the show. But feel free to call back and future other segments. I love hearing from you. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the middle of the vast, radical, middle conspiracy. Take no imitations. We'll be back.
Been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to Lifestyles of the Wet and Stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
Yeah.
about the Mike Malloy program. You know, the reason I turned this man off...
Why?
...is because he sounds like an 8-year-old.
Me?
Name calling.
I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not an 8-year-old. I'm not.
You should get somebody who at least has some intelligence.
No, don't fire me. No. I got kids in college.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. The rule forced tens of thousands of Middle Easterners and others visiting America to provide personal information to government officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. U.S. embassies on Tuesday warned of possible terror attacks against 2 hotels in Kenya and a housing compound for Westerners in Saudi Arabia. 2 banks were evacuated in the Kenyan capital because of a bomb threat. More after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick.
Who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood after being encouraged by my friend Angela.
Who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
After 4 decades of pinching pennies, a million in all, a Mifflin County, Pennsylvania man decided that it was time to cash in his collection. It took several months of bank visits to bring in 37 buckets of pennies to be cashed, but by the end, Lynn Wagner ended up with $10,060. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
And tonight's winning jackpot numbers are, Jane, would you do the honors?
17, 6, 39, and...
Oh, cut. You sound awful.
Oh, my nose is runny. Head's all blocked up. I need my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Only Alka-Seltzer Plus has an effervescent formula that breaks up nasal congestion and relieves your worst cold symptoms fast.
And the numbers are, Jane...
17, 6, 39, and 75.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up your worst cold symptoms fast.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off-message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Covers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
And welcome back, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman of the IE America Radio Network. So pleased to be with you here today. This study, again, published today by Reuters. Fascinating. 57% of Iraqis questioned said they had no trust in the U.S.-led coalition, and a further 22% said they had very little trust. Only 8% said they had a great deal of confidence in the occupying force. I think, frankly, what we're seeing is the result of an occupation. I mean, when you've got people running around kicking in doors and stuff, it's bound to create paranoia, and plus taking your oil and your companies. And the result of the propaganda or news, you call it either one, that has been being put out by the Arab press, you know, and the fact that now we're censoring their press. I mean, that's got to be making them paranoid, too. Anyhow, I just wanted to wrap that up, and I've got this Rumsfeld foot-in-the-mouth award. This is a hoot. We'll get to that in a little while. In this hour, I'm very pleased to have a great man as a guest on our program. Paul and I have met. We met out in San Francisco last year, I think it was. Was that when it was, Paul?
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, Paul Cienfuegos. Am I pronouncing that right, Paul?
Perfect.
Thank you. I thought so, but it's, you know, it's I don't say your last name very often. Usually just your first. Anyhow, Paul is doing a 3-hour workshop on corporate. Challenging corporate, local corporate media institutions. And a number of people are speaking very highly of this. And so I wanted to get you on, Paul, to talk about what it is you're up to. You know, what are you doing with this thing? And what sort of results are you getting? You know, how are people responding to it and that sort of thing. Paul Cienfuegos is the co-founding director of Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, based in Arcata, California, and the co-author of Measure F, the Arcata Advisory Initiative on Democracy and Corporations. And Paul, what's the website where people can get more information on this?
Our brand new website, which is going up sometime this week, we fell behind in our old website, is...
Well, it would be best, if I can interrupt you, is to give people one that they can look at right now, because most people won't, you know, hang on.
If they go right now, they can go to www.monitor.net and then a /democracyunlimited. Monitor.net/democracyunlimited.
Okay. And that one's not altogether intuitive, so what's the one that you've got coming up as well?
The new one, which is going to be quite something, is duhc.org, which is the letters of our name, Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, duhc.org.
Okay.
Coming up
that's
in a week or so.
That's worth writing down. And, but you also have a site that sells progressive books and things, don't you?
Yes, I sell books about everything that would help to make a better, more sane, more ecologically sustainable world, and that's 100fires.com, 100fires.com. And
okay.
I've got thousands and thousands of titles about democracy and corporate rule, about building sustainable homes, about natural gardening and ecoforestry and feminism and labor rights and on and on.
Yeah. And a great site and a good collection of books. And Paul's done a very good job of filtering these things. Paul, tell me about the workshop you're teaching.
Well, the workshop is called Taking Our Local Mass Media Back from Large Corporations. We, the people, are more powerful than we dare to believe. That's the full title.
We are?
We are.
What evidence do you have that we are more powerful than we dare to believe, Paul?
Well, because we've been so conditioned to define ourselves as consumers instead of citizens that our actions tend to be voting with our dollars these days, which is just kind of a neutered power. You know, it's an individualized consumption power rather than a collective power, which is what all great social movements have been based on.
Mm-hmm. So you're suggesting, you know, people say to me, you can vote with your dollars. This is, you know, corporations are democratic. And I say, nonsense. You're not, first of all, you're not voting with your dollars. Voting is something you do at a ballot box. And secondly, if you think that we live in a world where you should vote with your dollars, that means that the people with the most dollars have the most votes.
Exactly.
And that's got nothing to do with democracy either.
Exactly. So, the workshop has been very, very successful. I've led it about 10 times now in Minnesota and Washington, Oregon, California, and Madison. On November 8, I was invited to be one of the 10 tactics workshop leaders at the National Conference on Media Reform, and they had me leading it twice to about a total of 150 people from all over the United States and Canada.
That's great. Okay, in this segment, Paul, we've got about 8 minutes left before we have to take a break. Let's give our listeners the high points of your workshop in these 8 minutes. Why don't you just go through it?
The workshop is a completely non-ideological workshop. It's really...
No, don't tell us about it. Just give it.
Give the workshop?
Yeah. Okay. Teach me something.
All right. Tom, what I want to start with is, let's talk briefly about, and I ask as a brainstorm, what are the characteristics of a truly democratic society?
And what are they?
We walk our conversation through that, and it's a brainstorm, so everybody's kind of popcorn style. Everybody's talking about, you know, well, we have to have one person, one vote, and we need a free and open media, and we need, you know, access to everyone to be able to run for office, et cetera.
Right.
So really open question, not, you know, how democratic is the United States, but what are the characteristics of a truly democratic society? And then we follow up with another conversation. What are the characteristics of a mass media in a truly democratic society? And this is where it starts to get interesting, because what happens is virtually every workshop I've led now, and I've done about 10, they all generally say the same thing. It kind of all breaks down to a handful of points. And those points are that we should have in our local mass media in a truly democratic society editorial opinions as diverse as the American people, access to accurate, in-depth news coverage about the issues of the day, every letter to the editor printed, either in the paper or on their online site, investigative reporting that's properly funded, with reporters that are not having to be censored because of commercial interests of the media, and no concentrated ownership of our mass media. Those points
Hallelujah,
are
brother.
Over and over and over again.
Okay.
And then we get to work. Then we
yeah,
say,
now,
okay,
now,
go ahead.
Well, I'm of the opinion that, you know, if the FCC is going to be in the business of controlling how many newspapers, radio stations, and TV stations individual corporations can own, and they are in that business, and they're in that business because we, through our elected representatives, in a representative, constitutionally limited democracy, we agreed that Thomas Jefferson was right back on January 28, 1786, when he wrote, "Our liberty depends on freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost." And that freedom of the press doesn't just mean that the owners of the press can say anything they want. It means that there is a free press in America, free not only of influence from the government, but free of influence from huge corporations. And therefore, in my opinion, we should have a law that basically says, or what the FCC's position should be, is we should be essentially rolling this country back to where it was when I was a kid. And it was that way partly by law and partly simply by simple economics. People hadn't, and partly because the Sherman Antitrust Act was being enforced until Ronald Reagan came along, where you know, in most towns there were several newspapers, and the whole idea of fair and balanced news, I mean, truly fair and balanced news, not the Fox joke of it, but the whole idea is actually, in my opinion, a misnomer, because there really ultimately is no such thing. Every news story carries a bias. And so what I want to know is, honestly, what's the bias? When I lived in Michigan and I could get the Detroit Free Press, which always was talking about union issues and what was going on with the unions and this kind of, and then I could get the Detroit News that was talking about corporate issues. I mean, it was left and right, and it was right there, and the stories reflected the bias of the newspapers, and that seems to me like a good thing. And we've lost that because we say, hey, you know, a corporation can own 30 newspapers, can own 50 newspapers, they can own 500 or 1,000 radio stations. It should be one corporation, one media outlet. And you can't have interlocking boards with other organizations, and you can't play funny games where you put things in your sons and daughters' names, in my opinion.
Exactly. And what I'm finding across the political spectrum at the, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people who've now come to the workshop is generally people believe, left-wing, right-wing, that accurate news reporting is too important to be left to the bottom line. You know, that we absolutely need media where the decision-makers, the editors, the journalists are accountable to the people and communities.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do we go about doing that, Paul?
Well, as you and I know, and as increasing numbers of Americans know, we actually have enormous rights over corporations as a legal form, and that historically corporations had the privilege of serving our communities, not the rights of serving our communities, that they were chartered to do specific things, to cause no harm, and they had to do them very well, or they had their charters revoked and they were dissolved. And those laws, to a large degree, those laws still exist. Corporations still have to get a charter to exist. And my point is that media corporations should be no different, and especially the airwave-based corporations, where they're actually utilizing the airwaves that we, the people, own and are currently leasing to them for free. But even newspaper corporations should only be giving newspaper and radio and TV news corporations the privilege of serving our communities. That's what we actually are now. But because we don't understand how politically powerful we are in this democracy based on constitutional law, we end up just pleading with corporate officials to, you know, "Please, sir, can I have some more accurate news? You know, it's a ridiculous situation." We are the sovereign people. So what would it look like at the local level for thousands and thousands of people through this educational, you know, self-education process, both about history and about the fact that we actually deserve certain things in our media and a democratic society? You know, what would it look like for thousands of people to create a bottom-line statement in every community of any size in the United States and say, "You have the privilege of serving us with the daily paper, not the right, and you have to start meeting our bottom line for accurate and comprehensive news and analysis day in and day and out, or we're going to get rid of you and replace you with an institution that will be responsive to the needs of this community."
Amen. You know, Alexis de Tocqueville, back in 1834 or 1836, whenever Democracy in America was published, said something to the effect of, "I think in an aristocracy, freedom of the press is not so important, but in a democracy, it's essential. A democracy cannot survive without it." And we have to change this mindset from thinking that media, that the news, well, even entertainment media, ultimately, because it carries messages as well, but particularly the news, that we have to stop thinking that it is a commodity that can be bought and sold and aggregated by the new feudal lords of America, the corporations, and realize that the news, that the ability to transmit news, that the media in the United States is part of democracy. Democracy cannot exist without free and independent media. And I'm so pleased, Paul, that you are out there spreading this word and teaching these workshops and sharing this information with people. Right after this break coming up in just a second, I want you to give people again the information about how they can find your website and learn more about it. And if anybody has any questions for Paul or wants to call, our number is 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. And so, you know, get in now and get in quickly. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, the true people's radio. Stay tuned to be continued.
From Cheyenne to Chicago, from Buffalo to Bismarck, more cold engines in more cold places start with Heat. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze, America's number one brand for fast cold weather starts. From the Great Plains to the Great Lakes, from the Rocky Mountains to the rocky coast of Maine, whatever state of cold you're in, Heat removes water and prevents gasoline freeze-up. Heat Gasoline Antifreeze. Cold engines start with Heat.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
The Mike Molloy Show.
According to Abbas, immediately after Bush promised to speak with Sharon about the siege on Arafat, Bush said, quote, "God told me to strike at Al-Qaeda, and I struck them. And then God instructed me to strike at Saddam, which I did." When God specifically whispers in someone's ear, "I want you to go kill those people," and they go ahead and kill somebody, what do we do with those folks? We arrest them, they are jailed, in some instances, executed. We immediately identify them as crazy. You know, Ashcroft is going to say,
"Wait a second, George. God has been talking to me. God told me. Not you. God told me." These people are crazy.
"They're coming to take me away, ha-ha. They're coming to take me away, ho-ho, hee-hee, ha-ha."
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
"So they're coming to take me away,
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time.
Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Well, I was in the car and I heard this guy. He sounded all shook up and he told me why. His voice was a-shaking on the EIB. Sounded like an Oxycontin eater to me. It was a bug-eyed, tone-deaf, flying Oxycontin eater.
Right-wing syndicated, spinning liberal people beater.
Right-wing, strung-out, hypocrite, prescription cheater. Rush looked strange to me.
That guy?
Well, his housekeeper picked up some drugs on the street. And she brought the stuff home for the boss to eat. I heard him say in a voice so gruff,
I tried to quit twice, but it was just too tough.
He was a big mouth, blowhard, right-wing propaganda reader.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. We're talking today with Paul Cienfuegos about corporate power. Corporate power specifically over the media. One of the folks in our chat room, Paul, where did it go? This is scrolling so fast I can't keep track of it here. Furblog, CS, Rupert Murdoch just bought, Furblog must be in Ireland, Rupert Murdoch just bought the first novel by the Prime Minister of Ireland's daughter. Funny, he's looking to buy some stations here, an act that right now is illegal. How can people respond to the enormous wealth of a Rupert Murdoch or a Reverend Moon or for that matter, just a big corporation? At a local level, and how can we respond to it nationally?
Well, you know, there was a great organizer years ago, Saul Alinsky, who said that the only way that you respond, that you can challenge organized money, is with organized people. And that's one of the reasons I've felt so privileged over the last 26 years to be a grassroots community organizer. That's mainly what I've been doing, and what I've experienced over and over again as I help people to get to organize themselves. Is that there's a whole myth out there that people are that the average American is apathetic, and I quite honestly, I don't buy it, and I never have. I think people are extremely concerned, and are quite capable of joining together in concerted action to move mountains, if only they had accurate and comprehensive information, which they don't. So I think that's really phase one, is to figure out how to get accurate news and analysis into people's lives. I think when people do get organized,
okay, so here's the question,
things,
Paul,
are possible.
How to do it?
How to do it?
Yeah. By the way, for our listeners, we're talking with Paul Cienfuegos, the co-founding director of Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, based in Arcata, California. And your website is www.duhc.org, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
so how do we do it?
I have to say it. You know, after the last 6 years, I've been working on corporate rule issues instead of single-issue politics, where I've been clipping at the branches. And what I've discovered working focused on corporate rule is that the first step of how to do it is for people to understand what their rights and powers are in the United States vis-a-vis the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the founding documents. And I know it always, when I lead workshops, I lead full-day workshops on first steps in dismantling corporate rule all over the country. And people are like, what do I do? What do I do? The very first step is to get to a point where you actually understand how powerful you are, you know, based on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And
let's
I would
get
say that one of the most effective ways to do that is to go and educate yourself through an amazing study group session that you've got ads on every day for. Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has this extraordinary 10-session study guide that anybody can download for free off their site, WILPF.org. And, it's about asserting the people's rights over corporations. Until we understand how extraordinarily powerful we are as citizens, that there isn't really a lot we can do. That is the key first step. And people are always saying, well, that's not a do. But it is. It's the most important doing you could do as the first step.
Okay, so let's assume that some of our listeners are not going to take the time and trouble to download Wilf's marvelous, as you said, study guide, and or read my book or read your website or the stuff that you're doing. Let's give them that information here on the radio. Let's do it after this break that's coming up. I'd like to know what specifically are the powers that we have? How can we exercise them? What can we do? How do we get involved? How do we get active in this and other issues? Really the corporate rule issue, not just the media issue. We're talking with Paul Cienfuegos of Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Picklesbush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of a brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Picklesbush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into Tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
They say that Richard Corey owns one half of this whole town with political control.
connection to spread his wealth around. Born into society, a banker's only child, he had everything a man could want, power, great desire. But I...
And welcome back. Truth in Broadcasting. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld made a little comment that just won him an award, the Foot in the Mouth Award. He said, "Reports that say something hasn't happened are interesting to me because, as we know, there are unknown unknowns, even things that we know we know. We also know there are unknown unknowns. That is to say, we know that there are some things that we do not know, but there are also unknown unknowns, the ones we don't know that we don't know." This won him the Foot in the Mouth Award, and we're talking with Paul Cienfuegos of the Democracy Unlimited for Humboldt County. Paul travels around the country teaching workshops on deconstructing corporate power in America and returning people power to the, returning democracy to the United States. And Paul, I think that what you're talking about is sort of what Rumsfeld was talking about here, in that it's the thing that people don't know that they don't know. And you're doing a great job of telling them, hey, there's something you don't know. So now they know that there's something that they don't know. And let's get a little bit into what it is that they don't know, that they didn't know that they didn't know, that they now know that they don't know, but they don't know it yet. So we got to tell
them. What a great lead-in, Tom.
Well seems to work.
Well, I would say, you know, the biggest thing that they don't know they don't know is that the American Revolution was an anti-corporate rule revolution, and that out of that revolution came an extraordinary way of looking at what a corporation is, and that a corporation is supposed to be chartered to serve specific social needs and to be subordinate at all times, below at all times, the people of the United States, chartered by the states. And so there's this extraordinary history. Incorporation by investors was a privilege, not a right. Corporations could be dissolved at any time by the legislature in the state where they were chartered and assets seized.
And they still can be.
Jailed. Excuse me?
And they still can be dissolved.
And they still can be. Corporations were forbidden to own or merge with other corporations. We lost that one. Forbidden to donate money or services to candidates or to influence elections. We lost that one. Forbidden to donate to charitable or civic organizations, whereas now these organizations are so dependent on these corporations that their board of directors are so timid to speak out against the abuses of power by these corporations, which is exactly why it was illegal in the first place. So, you know, I think the best, probably the most effective way in a brief time to talk to you about, you know, how powerful people are is for me to describe briefly two things that are happening in the country right now. You know, one is the opposition to the Patriot Act, which shows, you know, extraordinary opposition from across the political spectrum. You've got the National Organization for Women working with the National Rifle Association to stop this draconian, you know, totalitarian act from going any further and to get it reversed. And so what happens is when people see the Bill of Rights challenged, which corporate media also does, it's extraordinary how people are able to rise up and get organized together across the political spectrum. In my local community, where I have firsthand experience now for 6 years, and that's Arcata, California. If you do the baseline education so that citizens understand how powerful they are collectively in this democratic society based on the original intentions of the founders, what we ended up doing was we passed a ballot initiative in 1998, the Arcata Advisory Initiative on Democracy and Corporations, and it called on the city council to do two extraordinary things, and I think you could get this passed in cities and counties all over the country if people wanted to do the organizing effort. The first thing it did was, in 1999, the city council was required to organize two town hall meetings on the question, can we have democracy when large corporations wield so much power and wealth under law? 4% of all the voters in my city showed up. That was about 600 people. And out of that process, the second facet of Measure F was that the city council was required to create a new permanent committee of the city on democracy and corporations, where it appointed citizens who are involved, who are interested in this issue, to start coming up with proposed ordinances to rein in corporate power within the city limits of Arcata. So for the last 2.5 years, we've been actively meeting, and our first success last summer, a year and a half ago actually, was that we got a cap at the existing numbers on fast food and on other corporate chain restaurants. So we have 9 in the city right now, and the law we passed says we will never have another corporate chain restaurant. And now we're talking about expanding that to corporate chains of all sorts. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. When citizens understand that they have the right to define the futures of their communities, which they do under law, whether regardless of what the federal and state people or governments are now telling them, when people understand what sovereignty really is, you move mountains together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. In fact, I'm broadcasting from the capital city of Vermont, Montpelier, and we are the only state capital in the United States with no McDonald's. No McDonald's, no Burger King, no Taco Bell, no Dairy Queen, no fast food, anything. And they sued the city a bunch of times, and the city turns around to the people and says, do you want to raise your taxes to pay for the lawyers to fight the lawsuits? And we did, and, here we are.
That's right. And the problem is, in most cities and towns in the country, the reason that these things don't happen, it comes back to media ownership, is that all of our feedback loops are broken in the United States. In a truly democratic society where the media actually is providing fair and accurate coverage, all the feedback loops are open so that we the people know what we the people are thinking every day, because we're hearing ourselves loop over and over through. I mean, I lived in Canada for 5 years. In the 90s, and I listened to CBC Radio, Canadian Broadcasting Radio, which was a talk radio 24/7. Boy, you only have to live in Canada for a few months, and the system is so open, and it's publicly funded, and there's no commercials, and it's talk shows at the national and regional and city level all the time, and documentaries. You know what people are thinking across the country, because the feedback loops have not been severed.
Yeah, in fact, you can listen to them on their website.
We have severed all the feedback loops, so we don't know what we're thinking. So it's impossible for us to act as democratic citizens.
Yeah,
and that's why the media has to be challenged.
I agree.
If for no other reason that we need to hear each other thinking.
Yeah. Well said, Paul. Thank you very much. I very much appreciate your coming on the program today. We've got to move along here, but and thank you for staying longer than the half hour we had you scheduled for. And give us the website one more time, in addition to the 100fires.com, the website that you would like people to be looking
for.
Yeah,
and can I just mention my workshops coming up?
Please.
A couple of cities?
Yeah.
Let me just tell you all that if you're interested, I'm going to be doing an Interstate 5 highway roadshow with my new Media Corporations workshop. I'm going to be Vancouver, B.C., Bellingham, Washington, Seattle, Olympia, Portland, Salem, Corvallis, Eugene, Grants Pass, Ashland, Medford, Reading, between January 4 and January 13. So if you're interested, give me a call at 707-825-0740. 707-825-0740. If you want to find out more about Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County, check us out on the web at duhc.org, Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. And again, be in touch with me at 707-825-0740.
Okay, well said. Paul, may I suggest also, if you go to tomhartman.com and you click on message boards, it'll take you to a permanent message area where you can post this information, and people can find it anytime they want.
Oh, and the bookstore, which I own and operate, is 100fires.com, 100fires.com. And on the homepage, you can click on Democracy, and you can click on Corporate Rule and find hundreds and hundreds of titles.
Great. Okay, Paul Cienfuegos,
thank you so much,
Paul.
Thanks for being
on the program.
Bye-bye.
Okay, Arnold Schwarzenegger, did you see Arnold, speaking of foot-in-the-mouth award, Arnold Schwarzenegger says, I think that gay marriage is something that should be between a man and a woman. Another remarkable Arnoldism for us all. Amazing what's going on here out there in the world. 1-800-TALK-YES, by the way, if there's something on your mind. Military officers have filed a brief against Bush's policy in Guantanamo. Did you hear about this? Navy Rear Admiral Dan Guter felt the Pentagon shudder when an airline hijacked by terrorists crashed into it on 9/11. He helped evacuate personnel. He says, I would have done anything that day, and I fully support the war on terrorism. However, he's joining his predecessor and a retired Marine general with expertise on prisoner issues to challenge the Bush administration's indefinite detention of suspected terrorists at the Navy base in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. He says, for me, it's a question of balance between security needs and due process, and I think we've lost our balance. And that's, frankly, I think that that's a bit of an understatement. This is falls in the category of old news, I suppose. A mob of shoppers rushed for a sale of DVD players, trampled the first woman down in Walmart. You've all heard about this, but it's funny. I had somebody from BBC. I'm going to be on Friday. I'm going to be on BBC for an hour, and I'm going to be debating on BBC Radio the founder of the organization that got the ban in Walmart on the more or less men's magazines. They don't have Playboy in there, but these were like magazines with scantily clad women on the covers on motorcycles and things. And it's one of these, American family kind of nonprofits that runs around trying to impose their personal morality on everybody. And so the BBC called up and they did this pre-interview. And this was yesterday. We talked for about a half hour on the phone. And the woman who will be interviewing us on Friday, she said, over here in England, we had this news report about this woman who got knocked down in a Walmart. And, what a bizarre, terrible thing it was. And she said, what's wrong with you Americans? I mean, what have you become so addicted to having stuff? I mean, is there such a cult of consumerism in America? And so I had to basically explain that, no, actually what happens is that we have a middle class that's being wiped out, that's being turned into the working poor, and we have the working poor who are having to work more and more for less and less. And we got a lot of people who don't have a lot of money in the United States. I mean, we've just moved a couple of $1 trillion to the wealthiest among us. We've borrowed that from our children, and working people have to pay. Limbaugh says, working people don't pay taxes, income taxes. Well, if you make more than either $680 or $860 a year, you have to pay payroll taxes. Working people are paying taxes. Absolutely. And you have to pay sales tax when you buy things. And if you own a home, you have to pay property tax. And if you're renting, you're paying that property tax in your rent. Working people are, the working poor are paying taxes. And as Thomas Jefferson said, it is wrong that they should be paying taxes if the necessities of life are not yet taken care of. So we have a situation here in America where our foundation, the ground we stand on, our ability to survive on a day-to-day basis, for millions of us, 45 million people with no health insurance, they're one severe disease diagnosis away from bankruptcy, from losing everything. We have more people declaring bankruptcy in the United States right now than at the depths of the Great Depression, and half of them are declaring bankruptcy because they can't afford a medical bill. So we have this situation here. I explained to this interviewer with the BBC. We have this situation here in the United States where poverty is exploding as a consequence of con policies that go back to the Reagan era. And as a result, when a retail store decides that they want to get in the news, they want to get some publicity so that more people will come and shop at their store, which is a perfectly natural and normal thing for a retailer to do. They say, let's run a loss leader. Loss leaders are things that they lead the bill, the advertising bill. They're at the top. And you make a loss on them. You sell things for less than you pay for them. So let's run some lost leaders. And so they had Walmart had some DVD players, as I recall, and they were selling them for some cheap. I don't remember the amount, but 25 bucks sticks in my head, but it was very cheap. And these were things that would normally cost $100, $150, something like that. And so you've got all these people who frankly can't afford to buy them for $100 or $150, but would love to give one of these things as a gift to somebody, or just to have one for their own home. And the only way that they can get it is to be one of the first 300 shoppers on Friday morning after Thanksgiving. And so they stand in line in the cold, and they storm the store. And it makes great footage. I mean, it's just like Bush showing up in Iraq at 5:30 in the morning to cut the turkey. It's a great photo op. All these people charging into a retail store. I mean, Walmart isn't the only one that does this. But it really has nothing to do with America being crazy. I was frankly startled by the ferocity of her question, because she was quite convinced that what she understood about America from watching American media was right. That we are a nation of absolutely insane consumers, and we put consumption above everything else. And yeah, consumerism is a problem in America. I'm the first to admit it. And probably a little bit worse than in a lot of other countries, in large part because we're just carpet bombed by advertising messages. But we are not nuts. We have not lost our way altogether. Mostly what we have is a problem of poverty in America, and retail stores exploiting that to get publicity, which you would expect, because they're in the business to make money and get PR. So, anyhow, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Stay tuned. We'll be back. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Veronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you, people who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to That Comic Book Show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to That Comic Book Show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
about your father's radio program, Take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
Show.
We are very lucky tonight to have joining us from California, Geneva, BartCop.com's resident astrologer. Can you tell us anything about George W. Bush's chart?
There was a lot of stuff in his chart. He's got a lot of aspects on his own that would indicate that he would be easily maneuvered into being a puppet, a front man, or people who have more of a scheme in mind like that.
He is a very weak man when you get right down to it, isn't
he? Yes, he is.
Extremely weak-willed. What sort of looming obstacles might keep Bush from being reelected? Is he going to face some sort of impeachment, criminal charges? Can you elaborate?
Well, that would be nice. I mean,
it would.
If they did it to Clinton with as little as they had to go on.
Oh, my God.
Why not?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Of us. This is Tom Hartman exposing the con and conservative here on IE America Radio Network. Another potential leak. This is another reason why it's so important to get politically active. Why, you know, you need to be writing letters to the editor of your newspaper. You need to be calling into talk shows of all stripe and asserting your opinions, passing out pamphlets, going to meetings. Because we've got to take this country back. This is the Bush administration planning for the next time that they have bad news coming out of the news cycle to say, hey, guess what? We just pulled Saddam out of a hat. A Central Illinois paper is reporting that the U.S. Representative Ray LaHood, or will they hang on to this until the campaign really starts? My guess is maybe they'll pull it out the day that the Democratic candidate gets nominated to wipe out that news. We'll see. That's going to be a very interesting news day. Anyhow, he's claiming he has secret, this is a Congressman Ray LaHood, a Republican from Illinois, claiming he has secret information that U.S. forces are about to catch Saddam. A disclosure that could threaten the very mission he's talking about. As the Pentagon newspaper reports, LaHood, a member of the House Intelligence Committee, quote, held his thumb and finger slightly apart and said, we're this close to catching Saddam Hussein. A member of the Pentagon editorial board, not really expecting an answer, asked LaHood for more details, saying, do you know something we don't? And LaHood, get this, LaHood replied, yes, I do. They weren't expecting an answer. He's, yes, I do. I know something you don't. And what is it that he knows? He knows that we are this far. And he's just holding his finger and thumb just very close to get this far from catching Saddam. I mean, this is the administration that, remember the last terrorist that they caught? They kept the guy in their back pocket for 2 weeks before they released the news about him. Because, they were waiting for a bad spot in the news cycle. This is the most poll-driven, media-savvy administration in the history of the United States, which ultimately is turning out to be a dangerous thing. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, where we dare to ask, is Walmart a person?
Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the field, but this ain't exactly real. Or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens
You've been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2003.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. The rule forced tens of thousands of Middle Easterners and others visiting America to provide personal information to government officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. U.S. embassies on Tuesday warned of possible terror attacks against 2 hotels in Kenya and a housing compound for Westerners in Saudi Arabia. 2 banks were evacuated in the Kenyan capital because of a bomb threat. More after this.
Hi, my name's Maria, and I'm alive today because I was given CPR last year by Rick,
who took a class with the Red Cross after I received blood from Jamal, who gave blood
after being encouraged by my friend Angela,
who helped Jamal's whole family get the help and support they needed after losing their home to a fire.
When we come together, we become part of something bigger than us all. By getting involved with the Red Cross, you never know how many people your actions will affect. To get involved, visit redcross.org. The American Red Cross. Together, we can save a life.
Concerned citizens calling a publicized toll-free number to report injured and dead manatees have instead been given offers to chat with fantasy girls in exchange for a credit card number. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission number changed years ago, but the old 800 number is still posted on websites, boater education signs, and park brochures. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you.
But as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
So you look on the front page of NewYorkTimes.com, NYTimes.com on the Internet, and here's a picture of, you know, the caption is, Spain mourns Iraq dead. And it's King Juan Carlos, the head of state of Spain, standing in front of a coffin draped with the Spanish flag, with his hand on the coffin, looking down very sadly. At the funeral of the 7 intelligence officers who were killed in Iraq a few days ago. When is the head of state at the United States, that being George W., when is he going to honor our war dead? You see this at NewYorkTimes.com. There's this picture, and you just go, what has happened to our country? The Supreme Court put this guy with Jeb and Kathleen Harris doing their vote scam down in Florida, knocking 90,000 mostly Democratic voters, off the voting rolls before the vote even happened. By comparing the felon list of Texas with the resident list of Florida and coming up with generally similar names. So a Willie Johnson becomes William Johnson or W. Johnson. They all get knocked off if there's a Willie Johnson in Texas who's a felon, for example. I mean, this wasn't even an accurate name match. And we've got this. We have a problem in the United States. And as I said, I just did this interview, this pre-interview with BBC, and the world is looking at us, scratching their heads, going, "What's wrong, you guys? You don't want to, you don't want to play? You don't want to participate in the community of nations? You don't want to grow up and be mature members of the world community?" Apparently not. And one of the reasons why, I think apparently not, has to do with the media in the United States. And I know we just talked about this at some length with Paul on the program. The real focus of that was, I suppose, corporate power, but also Paul's talking about the media. But let's get into this here a little bit. When the Progressive Report here today from the Center for American Progress, when right-wing Fox News media mogul Rupert Murdoch says jump, it appears the Bush administration and Congress say how high. By the way, this is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You are listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated progressive daytime talk show, where despair is not an option. We've got to get active. And the first step in getting active is waking up, figuring out what's going on with this stuff. You know, the FCC, under the tutelage of, or under the control, really, of Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell. Colin Powell, by the way, a former director of AOL Time Warner. He was on the board of directors and a major stockholder. His son gets must have been a coincidence, appointed to head the Federal Communications Commission. And says, well, we got this rule that a single corporation can't own radio stations that reach more than 35% of the public and can't cross-own in a single community with newspapers and television stations beyond certain limits. And we have this rule. I'm sure this was not the logic that Colin Powell or that Michael Powell followed. And we have this rule because the press is essential to democracy. A free press is essential to democracy. And the press becomes less free when the ownership of it becomes more concentrated. It's just a very simple equation. And so we have this situation where the FCC says, okay, so Michael Powell says, we got this 35% rule. Let's raise it to 45%. Now, this was after millions of dollars were spent flying Michael Powell and his buddies on the FCC commission to places all over the world on fact-finding trips and for seminars to London, to Hawaii, to Las Vegas. Lobbying, it is called. And he says, we'll make it 40. And you can bet, by the way, when he leaves his term as FCC commissioner, he's going to have a good job waiting for him. As seems to be the absolute norm these days. You see where Boeing just fired one of their senior executives for offering a job to a defense contract, to a general, as I recall, or some high muckety-muck in the military who was in a position to influence the purchase of Boeing products and said, hey, when you get out of the military, we got a job for you. I mean, that was the one we caught. But just look at the revolving door. There's a story that I tell in Unequal Protection about a guy who worked for one of the largest law firms in Washington, D.C. that does lobbying on behalf of corporations, who went to work for the U.S. Department of Agriculture and wrote rules that were favorable to a huge corporation that was making a product in, that's in our food supply. And then went to work for the FDA and changed their rules, and then quit both of these jobs and went back to the law firm representing that corporation. And those rules are still in place. I mean, this is the revolving door in Washington, D.C. It used to be illegal. For close to 200 years, it was a felony. And then Ronald Reagan came along with the conservative agenda, which is corporate feudalism. Let's return to rule by the rich, which is feudalism. We don't need those thinking governments. Governments, big government's bad. Unless, of course, they're reading your email. Sneak a peek in your house. So anyhow, we got Michael Powell doing this thing, and he says, "Hey, you know, let's take this 35% to 45%, and America freaked out. I mean, America freaked out. The National Rifle Association said, there's something wrong with this. Liberal organizations, there's something wrong with this. This was a 3-2 decision. There are three Republicans on the commission and two Democrats. The deciding vote is the commissioner, and that's the person who gets appointed by the president. So when you've got a Democratic president, you've got an FCC that's Democratic, and when you've got a Republican president, you've got an FCC that's Republican. And FCC Commissioner Jonathan Edelstein said, "We have now heard from nearly 2 million people. Almost all opposed to the decision." The Pew organization, this, you know, big, solid, non-political polling organization, the Pew organization did a nationwide poll on this and found in July, and found what they called strong opposition to the new rules. AP reported on the poll and said, half the public viewed the decision as a negative development, and only 10% said the decreased restrictions would have a positive effect. In other words, you got 90% of the American public against this. Now, in a democracy, your elected officials are supposed to look at that and say, okay, if the 90% want us to do something that doesn't harm the rights of the other 10%, that's where you have this constitutionally limited republic part, then we should be doing it, because it's the will of the people. But they didn't. Instead, as Senator Fritz Hollings of South Carolina told the Washington Post, and I quote, "The Republicans went into a closet, met with themselves, and announced a compromise." Now, this was in Congress. See, the thing got, after the FCC makes its rule change, there was such an outcry that a bill got introduced into the House and the Senate to roll it back. And it looked like it was going to pass. Everybody was in favor of it. It was all set to go. It was going to be a big slap to Michael Powell. In fact, he was talking about resigning. Or there was speculation about his resigning. And so what happens? Well, now it looks like the bill is not going to pass. Now it looks like the bill is not going to pass. Now why? Well, a couple of things. One, on September 9th, the Bloomberg News reported that the White House had issued a formal veto threat. I'm sorry, that was September 11th. They would do it on 9/11 because it would get buried. And it's incredible how many things happen on a Friday night and a Saturday night so that they get buried, they get lost in the weekend news cycle. And whenever anything happens to Kobe Bryant or Michael Jackson or any other big star that they know is going to be smeared all over the news, that's when this administration does their most dirty deeds so that they get buried on the, you know, in 3 inches of page 9. Because if it had been a slow news day, they would have been up front. So anyhow, the White House says, if you guys pass this bill, we'll veto it. Well, that wasn't quite enough. That was not quite enough. And see, in the meantime, Rupert Murdoch has gone out and actually bought enough media outlets that he's over the limit now. He's over the 35% limit. He's illegal. And the same is true of Viacom, another media giant. So what brought this about? Well, here I think we can find the answer as reported by Common Cause, and this is the kicker. Media companies and their allies have given more than $29 million in political contributions since 1995 and spent nearly $95 million lobbying Washington during that same period. You get that? Media companies and their allies have given more than $29 million in political contributions. Now, it costs about $6 million to get elected to the Senate these days. It's got to be more than that. I just pulled that out of my memory. I think it's $6 million. $6 million. Yeah, so $20,000 every day you're in office, as I recall. Do the 10 or 20. Where are you going to get that money from? The media companies are coming along saying, here you go, buddy. $29 million in political contributions. Now they're getting their payoff. This is Tom Hartman. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. Two full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Anyone who gets heartburn knows how irritating it can be, which is
why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant Maximum Strength Mylanta liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylanta's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try Maximum Strength Mylanta.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
If you're looking for the latest in cutting-edge technology and the products that everyone is talking about, tune into tomorrow right here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Pacific. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the highly interactive radio program with experts featuring the latest in consumer electronics, technology, computers, and the Internet. We cover all things cool, like digital photography and video, home theater and audio, home automation, gadgets and gizmos, the technology of making music, computer peripherals, HDTV, DVD, MP3s, car audio, navigation and security, and lots more. If it draws current, we talk about it. Let us bring you into tomorrow. Check out our website anytime at graveline.com and join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, here on the IE America Radio Network.
look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her
right.
boogieing?
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Heaven bent to take my hand, lead me through the fire. The long-awaited answer to a long and painful fight. Truth be told, I've tried my best somewhere along the way. I got caught up in all the world's to offer, and the cost was so much more than I could bear.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're listening to the radio support group of, by, and for We the People. Speaking of they, the corporations, real quickly, I got a couple of callers on hold, and I want to get to them, but I just have to tell you this first. You see where Foxwatch has been initiated by MoveOn.org? They've got this organization now that is tracking Fox News. And The Brit Hume, Tony Snow, pitched this thing to Senate Majority Leader Bill Frist, you know, the all-night filibuster thing. And I think I reported it on the program with the it's important to double effort to get your boss to S6 2:30 on time. Fox News Channel's really excited about this marathon, and Brit Hume at 6 would love to open with all of our 51 senators walking onto the floor. In other words, Fox News choreographed the behavior of the United States Senate. Not only that, according to this, Murdoch has apparently put the kibosh on any mention of the 10-person commission that Congress created over White House objections to investigate the 9/11 terrorist attacks and the government's response to them. The investigation has been called the largest investigation of the U.S. government in history, but according to Fox Watch monitors, there has been virtually no mention of any of the commission developments on Fox News. Further, the Murdoch-owned New York Post has barely reported on it. The Weekly Standard has not run a single word. Amazing. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Dallas, Texas is on the line. Hey, Mark, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's on your mind?
Oh, thanks, Tom. How are you doing today?
I am great. Thank you for calling the program.
In my never-ending quest to try to simplify all these topics and make them approachable and understandable for people, I was thinking the other day about democracy, and a conclusion hit me that encapsulates a lot of what you're saying. We no longer live in a democracy where the will of the people prevail. We live in a commercial state where everything is for sale.
Yeah, and the variation on that, Mark, I mean, just to define it very quickly and very cleanly, there have traditionally been three kinds of dictators since Gilgamesh erupted 6,000 years ago. There are warlord kings, there are theocratic popes and mullahs, and there is rule by the rich, which is called feudalism. And democracy, the idea of democracy was that we were going to reject all three of these, because all three of these said those at the top own the rights and the humans only have the privileges, the serfs, you know. And we're going to flip it upside down and say we the people have the rights, and whenever we create an institution, even if it's a government, we own it. And we have control. We decide what privileges it's going to have. And what's happening, as you correctly said, Mark, is that the corporations are rising up and taking our rights. I mean, it's very simple.
Very simple.
Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Take care.
I appreciate your calling in and sharing that observation. I mean, this is the return of feudalism. Make no mistake about it. That is the conservative agenda in a nutshell. It's going back to the days. I mean, you know, we had feudalism in Europe, you know, through the Middle Ages, where the feudal lords actually in, what, 1215, I think the Magna Carta was signed, they forced King John to grant them certain rights. And people say, oh, that was the beginning of human rights. No, it was the beginning of feudalism rights. It was the feudal lords. They didn't want rights for their serfs. They wanted rights for themselves. And that was really the beginning of the rise of defined feudalism, was the Magna Carta. And And now we have, and then there was another, and then democracy came along, 1776, and then the Industrial Revolution brought a second rise of feudalism, where people were just, you know, products for the machine, and there was revolt against that. And the revolts took many different forms, but the main two forms were communism, which didn't work, and the trade union movement, which did work. And now we're seeing feudalism rearing its ugly head again with corporations rising up and taking control. They're saying, hey, if we can't, if these people want to talk about this stuff, we're not going to let that happen. We're going to control the media, even. Roy, Armin, hang on, you guys. Well, I'll get to your calls here right after the break. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. News without conflicts of global corporate interests.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Best of the rest of the news, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
So now does your heart beat a pat with a patriotic sound when you see the stripes out? Oh, glory waving. Well, I
And welcome back, helping you win the water cooler wars with Uncommon Sense from the Radical Middle. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. And, boy, did you see where George Bush has now had a RICO Act lawsuit filed against him? I want to tell you about that after this call. We've got Roy in Rio. Roy has hung up. Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. What's on your mind today? Thanks for calling the program.
Thank you very much. I've often thought about the problems with the monopoly media, mainstream, and what would the solutions be. And I've concluded that if we really truly live in what they tell us is a free and open and independent country and free markets, that the thing that would adjust itself, I think, to the benefit of the common people would be if what were sponsors or manufacturers or people that sold products, if they would advertise to the people when they come on their premise to purchase the things, give them a choice. Now, I wouldn't want to hurt this network because, first off...
Oh, wait a minute. I'm not sure I understand that, Armin. You're saying don't let people advertise in the media anymore?
No. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that everybody that sells a product ought to have two prices, one for whatever their media fixed costs are, and then offer to consumers sponsor-free products at a cheaper price because they wouldn't have to sponsor these enterprises.
Well, you can already get those things, Armin. They're called generic products. If you go into any of your chain drugstores, for example, you'll see the Vicks product, and then next to it you'll see the generic brand product. There's no advertising cost built into that, and so it's cheaper.
But it still plays out on a small scale. I'm talking about homes, cars, you know, big ticket items that really make the money, that really, if you look at who sponsors, you know, like the Murdoch Enterprises and the rest of the alphabets of the monopolies, it's the big ticket items, you know.
It isn't. I mean, there's a lot. You know, you'll find a lot of advertisements for Wrigley's chewing gum. I mean, they used to be one of the biggest sponsors in radio, and they're still a significant force in the marketplace. And they're selling it. I don't know what it costs these days, 50-cent product, something like that. I have to respectfully disagree with you here. I don't think that the regulation of business, I don't think that micromanagement of business is a good thing. I think that the idea of socialism, of controlling the means of production and distribution, has been demonstrated to not work. And that we do need to have a free economy in the United States for entrepreneurs and for businesses. My problem, And I suspect if you think about it, this is the problem that you're identifying as well, and just maybe this isn't the best solution for it. My problem is when economic power rears up and tries to seize political power. That's wrong in my mind. Not when economic power gets, you know, tries to get their message out. I mean, I do have a concern about monopolies, too. Economic power at a certain level has to be constrained because it will reach a point where it's harmful to democracy. We have to consider democracy as both relatively fragile and as sacred, as something that's worth protecting. But I don't think that we do it by micromanaging businesses like that.
If I may continue...
If you can convince me of it, I'll
Well, I disagree with you because I want to have the right, if I live in a free country, in a free society, in a free market, okay, I think I ought to have the right to go buy a car, a van, home, clothes, name brand things, not just the seconds and generics. I ought to have the right to also buy the name brand stuff and not have to sponsor a political agenda of what I consider to be a bunch of criminals that run the media. And
yeah,
you don't have that choice now. Tom.
Well, yeah, that's right. And you do have that right, but you don't have the right to force somebody to sell it to you.
No, you don't have the right because you have to go with who they're advertising with. And if you go to every avenue in the United States, that basically the medias, for the most part, the establishment medias are all monopolies, and they're not really that competitive. You know it's getting fewer and fewer choices between them, and they're all getting together. And that's the problem, and you ought to have the right to combat that peaceably. And the way you could do that is if you go buy a car or something, if they gave you two choices and says, okay, this one's going to be $150 less because there's no budget for advertising it, or you can buy the other one where we have to run the ads and stuff and spend money for advertisement, you make the choice and just do it that way. And that's, I think that's fair, open, honest, And that lets the people really have a true choice. And then we don't have to support the way it is now. You don't have a choice because these companies that are sponsoring these alphabet medias that are doing the damage, I think, to this country, that are making themselves like a mafia almost, they don't give you the choice, because if you look at the products advertised on there, you can't buy those products without...
Yeah, I got it now. Right? I got it, Armin. I got it. And thank you. I appreciate that call and your point, is well taken. But I have to agree with Adam Smith on this thing. And Adam Smith was absolutely fanatic in Wealth of Nations, which is a hard read, but you can read about it, I suppose. But you can actually, it's online. It was published in 1776, that the copyright has expired. And in Wealth of Nations, Adam Smith essentially made two major points. And the first was that competition is a good thing, and which, he talked about the invisible hand of the marketplace. He only mentioned the phrase invisible hand once in the entire book, by the way. But basically, he said competition is a good thing. And secondly, he said that monopolies destroy competition. Now, in 1776, when Adam Smith wrote Wealth of Nation, Wealth of Nations, the main instrument of monopoly in the world was government. Kings would grant charters to corporations, like, Queen Elizabeth I chartered the East India Company. King James II became the big stockholder in it. And on it goes, right? And therefore Jamestown and Virginia and all that. Because the East India Company had their hands in so many things here in North America that the American Revolution was a revolt against the East India Company as much as it was a revolt against England. And in some cases more of a revolt against the East India Company than it was against England. And this is what Adam Smith was talking about. The founders, of course, all read Wealth of Nations, and Jefferson wrote at some length about how he thought that Adam Smith said things that were good, but he said them poorly. Jefferson complained that Smith was hard to read. But the point is that Smith said that monopoly will destroy competition. And so if you have a monopoly by government authorization, as they used to have in the days when it was kings, or if you have a monopoly by virtue of the government not intervening in the marketplace and preventing corporations from getting so large that it's impossible to start a company to compete with them, then you have a problem. Then you have an anti-competitive situation. And then ultimately, you've got a problem in the marketplace. But Armin, I'd say your generic products that you're talking about are already out there, and we can't compel business people to sell things to people in a particular way. It ultimately will not work, I don't believe. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937, and Roy in Rio Rancho is on the line. Hey, Roy, thanks for calling the program. What's on your mind?
Oh, you bet. Sorry I had to drop off. Got to take care of business.
That's okay. That's good to hear.
Yeah, fortunately it was there. And actually, in response to Armin, I did that kind of on a little one-on-one with the car dealer 20 years ago. He said, well, we got a $200 in every car on this lot for advertising. I said, well, fire the guy, because I saw the truck sitting out there on the parking lot. I want $195, because it didn't cost you more than $5 to put that sign in the window.
And did you get it?
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I originally called in when we were talking about the whole Bushco propaganda machine, and I think the absolute details, the Reuters report on the British Airways not having ever seen President One or Air Force One. I mean, how micromanaged can you get for the propaganda? Have you seen that?
Wait a minute, I missed that. You mean that
Reuters,
report?
Reuters has reported that British Airways, who was supposedly said, is that Air Force One? Oh, no, this is Gulfstream Two or whatever.
Right.
There was only two of their airliners in the area. Neither one of the flight crews said that they had talked to them. Now, I wouldn't blame them, because if I had seen a 757 and accepted the fact that it was a Gulfstream
747,
I wouldn't want to be having to take my physical again.
Right.
But it came out that, it's just kind of made up, because this is such a dangerous mission. Now, Iraq is so safe, why was it such a dangerous mission?
Well, not only that, Roy, they were flying in the middle of the night.
with no lights.
You can't see the markings on an airplane at 2 o'clock in the morning.
But
they were flying in the dark.
I got it off Andrew Colburn that they were feeding these guys turkey at 6 o'clock in the morning for crying.
Yeah, well, Bush landed at 5:30 in the morning. He stayed there for 2.5 hours, and he left at 8 o'clock in the morning. So,
you know, we were going to eat at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and we're running 30 minutes late. I think most people ate sometime in the afternoon. That's always when I've had my turkey. One of the other calls, or one of the other things that I like, have you heard of the neuromarketing?
No.
It is where they, rather than just doing focus groups or hypnosis and then focus groups, et cetera, they're actually
they hook people up to lie detectors and watch their physiology.
Now.
Oh, they've been doing that since the 60s.
Well, this is where they're firing off the brain.
Monitoring the brain. They show people, Vance Packard talked about this in The Hidden Persuaders. And we used to do focus groups. We never did anything like this. But you look for things. You look for eye motions and things like that. It's what they're called subminimal cues. You flash products up and you see what works and what doesn't.
This is that times squared.
Well, I think the Republicans are doing this with words. That's how Newt Gingrich came up with his word list. They're doing it, like you said. I mean, talk about micromanaging the stories. This thing with the British Airways, boggles my mind.
They're having a neuromarketing conference down in Houston in April. I'll forward you the information because it goes three steps beyond anything that I've heard of.
That's incredible. I'd love to see it. In fact, if you could post it to our message board, share it with our listeners.
I tried to do that one time, and I... Run the instruction by for this old graybeard because I'm just...
Sure. You click on TomHartmann.com and it says message boards. You click there and it'll take you to the message board. You go to the section that you want to post in, which would be radio show, and then you click new topic to create a new topic. Now, if you haven't at that point, anybody can read the board, but in order to post to it, you've got to register. All it asks is your email address, and it just validates that you've got a real email address so that, and it logs your IP address. And some folks have to have it turned on to take cookies from mythical.net or tomhartmann.com because the way it recognizes you when you come back is with a cookie. But there's no commercial cookies being thrown out or anything like that. It's just the recognition.
Right. Okay. So. Well, I appreciate it. And again, enjoying the show and, just... If Armin's a good negotiator, he can get their advertising taken off.
There you go. Well, hopefully he can do it. Thank you, Roy. I appreciate the call. 1-800-TALK, yes, our number. Ed in Dayton, Ohio is on the line. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Hello. I'm just calling you because I was listening to your conversation with Armin a little while ago, and I think that what you were saying is correct. You can't force people to sell you things under any certain terms. But what we can do is we can, if he doesn't want to support a political agenda that's being funded by the people from whom he's buying products, maybe he should consider trying to convince people to support the idea of publicly funded elections so that we don't have to worry about private money seeping into our democratic process the way it does now. Then it wouldn't be an issue anymore.
Yeah, or we don't, and publicly funded elections is an issue that the Greens have taken and are running with, and I salute them. I'm absolutely 100% in favor of publicly funded elections. And, in fact, if we raise that little checkoff box on the tax returns from $2 or $3 up to $5, we would have an amount of money in the Treasury equal to what was spent in the 2000 election year.
Well,
so
and the other part of that is that, a big part of the reason why these politicians need to raise so much money is so that they can buy airtime. We own the air.
We need to go back to that.
Contingent on providing that time, equal time, for people who are running for office.
Absolutely. That's why we had the Nixon-Kennedy debates. I mean, it was required by law that the networks had to carry those things.
Mm-hmm. Well, they've hijacked the debate process. It's a corporate thing now, too. There's no equity in our airwaves anymore. It's all just being controlled by corporate interests now.
Yeah. Now, here's a middle ground, Ed. Tell me what you think of this. In the United Kingdom, I believe, I've had a couple of people tell me this. I haven't found the actual law, but a couple of people who are citizens of, who live in England. There is a limit of £100,000, which would be, about $160,000, that you can spend on the race to be in the House of Commons. That's it. You can't spend more than $160,000, period. And, I mean, right now, for example, as I was mangling the math before, but it costs about $6 million to run for a U.S. Senate seat, which means that every single working day, every single Monday through Friday, every United States senator wakes up and says, okay, how am I going to get $20,000 today if it's that last year and they're trying to raise that $6 million? Or how am I going to raise $2,000?
$6 million is a conservative estimate. Saxby Chambliss spent $8 million on his election bid.
Right, and he probably lost. I think the voting machines mixed him up with Max Cleland. I think it just got absolutely
no
completely reversed. Because that's what the polls look like.
I was there in London when Ken Livingstone was running for mayor, and the whole election process was less than a month long.
Yeah.
So,
that's because they couldn't afford that much more, because there's spending caps on what you can spend. So you can take money from corporations all day long. We don't have to go to public funding. We simply say, you can't spend more than $200,000. I think it could work. If public funding is not going to happen, if it's something that we have to work toward, this might be a good first step. Ed, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. 1-800-TALK-YES-OR-NUMBER. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. To be continued. The Founding Fathers thought they'd stop corporations from ever overthrowing elected government. Little did they know that 200 years later, democracy would be stolen and twisted in the name of so-called conservative values. Hi, this is Tom Hartman. The founders of America fought the Revolutionary War against the excessive corporate power of the East India Company, and presidents from Jefferson to Eisenhower warned us that extremely big businesses could destroy democracy. You'll find this extraordinary American story in my book, Unequal Protection: The Rise of Corporate Dominance and the Theft of Human Rights. It starts with the Boston Tea Party and ends with the rampant corruption of the Bush administration. It tells the dramatic story of how corporations hijacked the Bill of Rights, setting the stage for the CEO takeover of America. And it shows how we can take America back, and tells the stories of Americans from Pennsylvania to California who are doing just that right now.
Unequal Protection is available in bookstores nationwide, and you can read several chapters online at unequalprotection.com. That's Unequal Protection by Tom Hartman.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. But judge for yourself. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. And we will send you a free sampler. Yes, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
The Tom Hartman Show.
Adam, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. What's up?
I just find it that you guys are really cynical to believe that Cheney or Bush or any of these guys would risk troops' lives to make money. You must think that these guys are really evil people.
If you go back to 1998 and read the Project for a New American Century, what they were saying basically, if we're going to continue to consume 25% of the planet's oil, then our security is at risk if we can't secure our oil supplies. So we have to secure the oil supplies by seizing control of the Middle East.
Is this what you say they said, or is this what they had stated in a policy and in a
this
in
is
a
what they
contract?
Said.
Why is this on CNN every night?
It was on CNN a year ago. It was on CNN in 1998. They wrote a letter to Bill Clinton demanding that he attack Iraq, and that letter has been a public document ever since. And it was signed by all of these guys who are now in the administration.
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
The Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network, 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time every Sunday. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com. And join us this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, right here on the IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back. Straight to the heart of truth. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Here it is, Chicago Tribune. Louise just handed it to me. British Airways said no pilots radioed the Bush jet. British Airways said Monday that none of its pilots made contact with President Bush's plane during its secret flight last week to Baghdad, contradicting White House reports of an in-flight exchange that nearly prompted Bush to call off his trip. Remarkable. Amazing. Yeah, the micromanagement of propaganda is truly mind-boggling. Truly mind-boggling. And the flip side of it too. How many of you have seen in the mainstream press the fact that Richard Perle, a member of the U.S. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's policy board, senior administration official, would he be the one? Anyway, Richard Perle told a London audience last week that he thought our attacking Iraq was illegal. Have you seen that on the news? It's certainly been all over the British news. The Guardian reported him saying that, quote, international law stood in the way of doing the right thing and would have required us to leave Saddam Hussein alone, end quote. Now, Op-Ed News picked it up, BuzzFlash picked it up, Common Dreams picked it up, but did you see it on CBS, ABC, NBC? Certainly you wouldn't see it on Faux News. Why have no American media voices been raised against Rumsfeld? This is from an article by Antonio Zerbesius, Talking Turkey About a Free Press, the Toronto Star, reprinted on Common Dreams. Why have no American media voices been raised against Rumsfeld's outrageous suggestions that Arab journalists are compromised in their reporting because they are embedded with terrorists. And so we're cutting off the Arab, and so we're starting to censor Arab media. We're saying, no, you can't do it. Friends, we've gotta get politically active. We've gotta wake up the American public to the outrageous behavior of the cons. It's not just this administration, it's this whole conservative thing. We got to wake folks up. You can do it. Tag, you're it. Now pass it along. This is Tom Hartman. Our program today produced by Louise Hartman and Joe McPherson, engineered in Detroit by Char Jones. Thanks for joining us today. Tune in tomorrow, same time, same place.